Welcome back to Marylanders Voices. This is episode 2. I was hoping to have episode 2 out a lot sooner than this, but it is what it is. So my name's Adam Reuter, and now I'm officially running for Baltimore County Executive. I'm not sure if I was at the time of episode 1. But anyway, joining me today from Montgomery County is Holly, and we're going to go into depth about various COVID-related lockdowns and vaccine mandates and mask mandates and all kinds of other mandates. So, Holly, first of all, how did we find each other?
We found each other on Twitter when we were talking about the mandates and the lockdowns and the restrictions and the school closures and the difference between the counties.
Okay. So I live in Baltimore County, as I said, and you live in Montgomery. And I think for the most part, at least in the beginning, we were pretty much equals. And then somewhere, I would say, towards the summer of 2020 is when everything diverted or diverged. And Montgomery County got really bad.
Yes. So I live in Silver Spring, Maryland, in Montgomery County, and I work in Columbia, which is Howard County. So the first 2 months of COVID, our office was, the first 2 weeks of COVID, our office was closed down. We had to work from home. And then after the 2 weeks, we were able to come back in. So basically, you know, in Montgomery County, schools were closed, restaurants, carryout, stores, businesses, everything was shut down. The summer of 2020, they started reopening at 25% capacity, but still no indoor dining. No, they would have people standing at the door. They only allowed 20 people in at a time. They had a counter, and it kind of was getting to the point where people, there were hundreds of people in line just to get toilet paper. Then in August, September of 2020, the other counties started opening up 100%. And we would go to the mall while Montgomery County was still shut down, only allowing 25% capacity. So this went on until, I would say, November, December, and they went down to allowing 50% capacity. Still no indoor dining, still have the mask mandates everywhere you go, inside, outside. They closed down all the parks. They literally took away the basketball courts at all of the schools, all of the parks, because kids were going out running track, playing basketball, and a lot of people in the neighborhood would call. Montgomery County had a designated line set up, call your neighbors, report your neighbors. If you see a gathering at your neighbor's house, report them. So a lot of people would call this designated line, and they came out and they, like I said, they taped off the playground equipment. They had chains up. They had taken down all the basketball courts. It was just, it was ridiculous. And then the other counties did away with their mask mandates in May of 2021. And everything was completely open. And all of the counties except for Montgomery County, PG County, and I'm not sure, Baltimore County, when did you guys finally reopen everything? Was it before the summer of 2021?
Well, I'm going to say officially things were reopened closer to, like, let's say November, December 2020.
Okay.
But in reality, these places that were shut down for a long time didn't start really coming back until the spring of 2021.
Okay. Yeah, because I noticed in May, like I said, in May 2021 was when the counties basically did away with the mask mandates in Howard County, and it was shocking. You could go into any store, and you didn't have to worry about having a mask on. You didn't have to worry about being counted. And I would say 50 to 60% of people did not wear a mask. And their numbers were continuously going down, where here in Montgomery County, they continued to go up as they got more strict with the mask. And the funny part about the thing was, when this all started, we had a chart, a guideline that our county executive gave out and said, when we reach 8%, we're going to open up 50%. So we reached the 8%, and he says, yeah, you know what? We got to get down to 6%. We got down to 6%. You know what? Let's change it to 4%. He was always pushing the goalpost out.
Wow.
And in reality, in the summer of 2021, we went a week without a mask, outdoor, indoor. They went ahead and said, okay, we're going to get rid of the mask mandate. The same day they said they were going to get rid of it, we got an email that night saying cases are starting to go up, so we're going to re-implement it in 5 days. So we basically, from March 2020 until July 2021, had a week without a mask. And then they implemented it back. They did that again in November, literally 6 days, 7 days. The mask went back on. And we finally stopped the end of March. They got rid of it for good. Again, and it was 2 weeks. Our county executive was always 2 weeks after what Hogan would say. It was like a child's temper tantrum. Well, I don't care what the governor says. We're going to wait 2 weeks. So a lot of people were really upset with that.
I would be. I mean, I didn't know. I honestly didn't know it was that bad. I know that Baltimore City was pretty restrictive, but I think this sounds worse.
Oh, no. Montgomery County and PG. And see, the thing is, we own a business in PG County, and PG County followed everything Montgomery County did. If Montgomery County said drop a dime in a gutter, PG was behind them going, make sure you drop that dime in the gutter.
Yeah, I really had no idea it was that bad.
Yes.
So
Montgomery County is by far, and I think 60 Minutes actually did a segment on Montgomery County about their restrictions, and I kind of found it funny that the county, I'm going to have to look that up and send that to you. But I was surprised that a national news had picked a small county, well, not small, but a county in Maryland to be like the worst restriction.
It's probably because CBS News is based out of DC. You know, that's one of their main headquarters. So that would kind of make sense. I don't know if New York City was worse or better than Montgomery County now that you're telling me all this, but they were hit really bad, so much so that I think hundreds of thousands of people moved out of New York.
Yes. I have friends and relatives in New York. They're in healthcare, and I would say out of 25, 9 of them moved. They are no longer in healthcare in New York. They're in other states now.
It's just crazy, and I really hope that 20 years from now the history books are honest about how ridiculous a lot of this was and how ridiculous. I mean, like, we had the hospital overflow ready to go by, I would say, May of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I'm not saying, reopen everything entirely, but I mean, a lot of people forget there was still a lot of businesses that were completely shut down.
Yes.
And even I always remind people, the person that I'm running against in the primary election, he wouldn't even allow small businesses to do curbside delivery until the middle of May. Like certain small businesses, which made absolutely no logical sense to me then and now.
Well, a lot of businesses, because like I said, we own a carryout in PG County, and we were lucky because
you and your
oh, me and my husband. Okay. My husband's family bought it in 1969 or 71. I'm not 100% on that. But so they've had it for over 45 years now, and we were lucky. We were considered a carryout, so we were able to stay open. However, we couldn't have the inside dining. We don't do delivery because we don't have the setup for that anymore.
Okay.
So we ended up having to hire DoorDash, which if any business knows, when it comes to DoorDash, that was the biggest mistake ever, because their fees, I mean, they take 30% off the top plus any tips, bonuses, coupons. It all comes out of the business's pocket. So, you know, let's say for a month you make, you know, $3,500 off of DoorDash and, you know, you get a check for like $1,500, you're like, is it really worth it?
Right.
And for us, it wasn't. Yeah, it really wasn't. So I felt sorry for a lot of the small businesses who found that out after they hired them and, you know, looking at the lease thinking, you know what, this is going to be great. It's going to work out. And then, you know, come to find out all the ins and outs, we were like, man, we will never, ever do this again. So another thing is, anybody listening, try to use small business, their own delivery or pickup, because they're getting dinged with these DoorDash and Uber Eats charges.
Yeah, I always tell people, cut out the middleman. If you can, go to the ATM, get cash out. You know, use cash as much as possible. We need to stop giving these, even the credit card companies, because a small business owner that I know tells me how much his credit card bill is, you know, as a merchant every month.
It can be between $5,000 and $7,000 a month at one time for us. It's ridiculous. People don't understand.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so a lot of businesses, they say, you know, cash up to $10, and people get upset and they don't understand that, you know, if you come in and buy, you know, a $1.25 order of fries, you know, that's a ding. And if you're doing five charges, say you come and you're buying for five different people in your office, instead of doing one order, you do five separate ones. That's five dings that we get as a small business.
Right. All right. There's so many.
Yeah, so,
unless you're a business owner, a lot of people just have no idea, you know, and I tell people, on your paycheck, you know, you get Social Security taken out, you get federal taxes, you get FICA. Well, imagine that times, you know, 5 or 10 for a business owner.
Workers' comp insurance, liability insurance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exaggerating. But yeah, there's so many hidden fees when you run a legitimate business that people have no idea is there.
Well, exactly. And people, they don't understand. And like during COVID, we were lucky. We haven't raised our prices in probably, I don't know, maybe 6 years. And, you know, it was getting to the point because all of our vendors, they raised their prices and we're like, we really don't want to do this to our community, because I would say maybe 70% of our customers are repeat customers. I mean, they've been coming there for 30, 35 years. And, you know, we didn't want them to have to, you know, because we knew they weren't working as well. So we kept our prices, but it was hard.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we could have raised them, but I just didn't see that. I would have rather have taken less as a business owner and paid my employees to stay and be able to pay their bills. And that's what we did.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a lot of businesses are doing that now, where their wholesale prices have gone up and they're, you know, they're eating the cost right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm assuming they're hoping that the wholesale prices eventually come down in a few months, but if they don't, they said they are going to have to raise their prices too.
Well, a perfect example is we used to spend about $350 a week on lettuce. Now we're paying about $7.25 a week for lettuce.
Wow.
Yes. So, and like you said, you don't think of the little things, you know, down to the cups, the straws, the plates, the napkins. I mean, everything costs.
That's right. Doesn't grow on trees. Well, it does.
And in Maryland,
you got to pay
more. In Maryland, if I'm not mistaken, I think we lost 25% of our small businesses between 2020 and 2021.
I'm not sure. It's
funny how Home Depot and Target, they never had the restrictions, but I couldn't go into a local boutique that had maybe, you know, where you could fit maybe 3 or 4 people in there. But I remember going through Home Depot to get flowers, so, you know, because what else could you do? And the places were packed.
Right. And I always, and I'll say this during the upcoming candidate forums and debates, if this were bubonic plague levels of death, we would have been in big trouble by, I don't know what the proper term is, but centralizing consumer demand,
mm-hmm.
you know, in just these few spots. And I mean, I don't really, okay, if you're if you're put on the spot and asked, what should I do to stop, to slow the spread of a virus? It makes sense to say, oh yeah, let's just lock most places down and just keep a few open on a, with an on the spot question. But if you think a little deeper, if you have a few minutes to think about all the unintended consequences, will this actually work? Does it make sense? Most intelligent people would be like, you know, they come to the realization, this is stupid. You either lock everything down or you don't lock anything down. And I said that from the beginning because I said you either make things more strict or you open everything up. Because this piecemeal shutdown isn't going to work. And I have a YouTube video up about that. So I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback on this.
Right. Because going into a restaurant with a mask to sit down and take it off.
Oh, that was the silliest thing. I don't even want, oh my goodness. That needs to go into history books for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because, you know, we went to Florida for vacation in July 2020. We flew, and I mean, I have to give United Airlines props. They were really awesome. I mean, we had to wear the mask, but they didn't sell out the middle seat. So it was literally, you know, you had two people in a three-seat row. You couldn't sit, even family, they didn't let you sit in the middle row. So we went down to Florida, and the funniest thing down there was you had to wear it. You had to wear it to walk in, but you can get up, walk around, go to the bathroom. You didn't need it on. And I'm like, none of these guidelines make sense. You know, the liquor stores stayed open. They're like, well, we did not want to overwhelm the hospitals. It's like, okay, I understand, you know, alcohol addiction or whatever like that. But however, it didn't make sense to me. It really didn't. I mean, I could go to 7-Eleven and get lottery tickets, but I couldn't support, you know, Jane who ran a cookie store. Nothing ever made sense to me.
It's a very weird time in American history and really world history, but, you know, Maryland history. And when people ask me about what happened, and I'm going to tell them, we all thought it was ridiculous. We had no power to say, I mean, we did have power, but, you know, business owners were threatened with fines. They were threatened with jail time, prison time.
And you had the ones that were so, I hate using the word brainwashed, but unfortunately there is no other word. So many people, like, listen to the news 24/7. And I mean, my mother-in-law was the same way. She's from Greece, so she was listening to the American news and the Greek news. And I have a dog who's 12 years old, little Chihuahua Pomeranian mix, and she loves him. And she lives 8 houses down from us. And I remember it was like 4 days, you know, after they were like, oh my God, everything has to lock down, everybody, da da da. And so I went to take her something, and she usually pets the dog, and she didn't. And, you know, I didn't put two and two together until I got home. And my husband was like, yeah, she heard that dogs can carry the coronavirus. And I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And, you know, a lot of people took their dogs to the shelter because that's what they were saying. And then until Fauci came out and said, no, you can't catch it from your animals. Please don't take them to the shelter.
Wow.
But they had thousands of dogs who had been taken to the shelter.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I mean, like I said, I worked from home, and even after I went back into the office after 2 weeks, I still worked 3 days a week from home, but I had to get out of the house at least 2 days a week because I'm not a home person. I need to be around other people.
Right.
And so, you know, friends would send me stuff, and I always look stuff up. I don't take people's word for it. I have to research it myself. And I couldn't believe it. You know, the shelters are like, stop dropping your dogs off on our doorstep. We can't handle anymore. We're overrun with these pets. And then, like I said, Fauci had to come out and say, hey, you don't drop your pets off. You can't catch it from pets. What you're doing is not right. Just stop. And I was like, oh my God, how many dogs, pets? I mean, I love my dog. I would never think to send him to a shelter to get killed because he might give me a virus. I mean, It was, it's great. And like I said, these guidelines that they kept pushing back and back. Okay, for this, we'll do 25% and this for 15%. But if you're not this, and if it's this way, and if you're this percent, you can go to 50%. And once we would meet the mark, it would be, you know what, we're going to wait 2 weeks and see what happens. Getting into schools. I mean, our schools were supposed to be, you know, two weeks to flatten the curve. And when the third week came, you know, my son, he was a junior at the time. He was like, yeah, the teachers are telling us we're not going back at all this year. I'm like, it's only been 3 weeks. How do they know? And sure enough, they didn't. In Montgomery County, they went back. They started taking clusters of kids back in March of 2021. And then all kids went back September of 2021. But I have relatives in France, and their kids went back May of 2020. And they did fine. And the restrictions and the guidelines for school, talking to neighbors and their kids. I have kids, they're in elementary, middle, and high school in my neighborhood. And their parents would tell me in September of 2021, they would get called to pick up their kids from school because a classmate had a headache, a classmate sneezed, a classmate had a cough.
Oh my goodness.
And they were sent home without any work. So it was like a 10-day vacation for them. And some of these kids were getting sent home 3 and 4 times in a month, and they all tested negative, but because a classmate, that was their guideline. A fever, a cough, a headache, and a sneezing were signs of COVID. So they called the parents, come pick them up, everyone in the class or everyone who was near them. My neighbor's daughter was in sixth grade in 2021 when this started. And she was like, this is the third time she's been sent home because someone in her class could have COVID. And I'm like, this is crazy. They're getting no more education being in school than they did a virtual.
May even be worse for the high schoolers.
Well, my son, when they went back, he was a senior when they went back. And of course, you know, he lost out on prom, homecoming. At first they were going to allow one person for graduation. Then they said 2 people for graduation. And then finally, as the week before, you know, they were allowed 4 because we did it outside. But, you know, and I'm seeing these other states, their kids are, you know, going to prom in 2021. They're going to homecoming in 2020. And I'm like, what is going on with Maryland? You know, I mean, we supposedly have the lowest in the United States. We're doing better than everybody else, and because we have the strictest lockdown. You know, my doctor made a good point. He says, if I kept my daughter away from her boyfriend for 13 months, there is no way she's going to get pregnant. But as soon as I let her out, there's a chance of it. And I was like, well, I don't understand what you're saying. He says, COVID. He goes, if no one's going out, of course no one's going to catch it. But right. It's a virus. People are going to catch it as soon as they go back out. And what we've done is we've lowered their immune system because now they've been in the house for 1.5 years. They've worn a mask everywhere they go. And it's true.
Yeah, somebody was trying to explain this to me in network engineering terms or information technology terms. And they said your phone, your computer, any device that's hooked to the internet, it pings a server somewhere or multiple servers every, let's say, 10 seconds, just to make the math easier. And just the same, your immune system, when you go out in public and you're around strangers, or even if you're around family, if you're around other people in general, your immune system gets pinged with viruses that you probably already had when you were a child, young adult, whatever. And so your immune system actually will, you know, you'll get the start of a cold. You won't have any symptoms. Your immune system will fight it, and you won't even know you've had that virus.
And that's when they started bringing up the asymptomatic. When people started questioning that, they're like, well, how can I have COVID when I'm not sick? Oh, well, you're asymptomatic. This is the first time I've ever heard that word, asymptomatic. I've never heard it during any other, like, virus, flu, anything.
Well, it's a
and people
it's
were
a,
scared.
it's a medical term, but no, I mean I wasn't so sure either. I mean, again, I always tell people I'm not a doctor, but I do listen to other doctors and scientists who know better than me.
Right.
And ones who the media aren't you know aren't putting on their airwaves. And by the way, I'm now feeling the same way that doctors who, you know, were trying to quash people's fears back in 2020. They were trying to save more lives and get their message out there. And the media mm-hmm. were refusing to talk to them. Well, now that I'm running for office, I expected, you know, different media outlets to contact me and say, hey, Mr. Reuter, we see you're running for office. You're the only other candidate who's running against the county executive. You know, we'd like to talk to you. I have not received that from any of the major TV or radio stations.
No, because you have your own opinions. You have your own, well, how can I explain it? You do not toe the line. You do not go one way. You listen to both sides, all sides. You do your own research, and you don't let people tell you you have to think that way. And that's what we need. We don't need someone who says, this is how I think. You need to think. That's what has ruined the state so far.
Yeah.
And we need someone who looks at the big picture. And that's why when they started banning doctors who were saying, well, we should try this or we should do this or, hey, I've had great results with that. And people were like, oh, ban them. Nope, they're spreading misinformation. No, you let people make their own decisions. You let them research, because now what you're doing is you're putting fear into everybody. Because I'm telling you, that's what they did. Anytime you turned on the news between 2020 and the beginning of 2022, it was nothing but fear. And it was also, we could get a new variant. We might. It's a possibility. Maybe. It was fear. It was to keep everybody in place. And, you know, they did that with the... when the hospitals are going to be over, all the hospitals are going to be overrun. We got to watch them. We even spent, what was it, like $5 million to bring in to change the Baltimore Convention Center into like a hospital triage.
Right.
And we had 124 patients there.
Total.
That was the biggest waste of money ever. Two of my friends were doctors. They were the triage doctors there during 2020, and they only did it for a month. Because they said most of the time they were sitting there watching Netflix.
Jeez. So I had to go to urgent care in June of 2020. And I had to go on a Friday night. I'm not going to say what it was for, but it was, you know, because it's my business, right? Nobody else's.
Mm-hmm.
On a Friday night, I've been to urgent care in previous years. And it's usually packed on Friday nights and Saturday nights. There was three other people in the waiting room, and that's it.
I believe you, because I went to urgent care in May of 2020 because I was getting these really bad migraines. Never in my life have I had migraines. So I walk in, and there's literally no one in urgent care. And it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so it was a weekday. So I go in, and the lady behind the desk, you know, she's mask, shield, cover. I mean, she's got like three things across her face. And she's like, can I help you? Yeah. And I'm like, I have this really bad headache. You can't come in here. That's a symptom for COVID. You got to go and call in for a teledoc or something. Teledoc. I think that's what it's called. And I was like, it's a headache. And she's like, no, you can't come in here. I was like, okay, fine.
You didn't have a fever?
No, I had no fever. I had no fever, no cough, nothing. I just had this pounding.
Yeah, the fever's the main symptom.
Exactly. So I go and I call and I make an appointment for a teledoc. And then they end up calling me about 3 hours later. You're going to laugh so hard at this. So they call me. We do the video conference and they go, what's wrong? I was like, I'm having these really bad migraines. It's not constant. It's every, you know, like once, twice a week, but they're like severe. I've never had them before. They're like, okay, let's do this. Take your temperature. Do you have a thermometer? I'm like, somewhere. So I had to search for the thermometer. I found it. It was like a 12-year thermometer from when my kids were little. So I put it in. Nope, 97.8, because I'm weird. I never go above 97.8. So she goes, okay, let's check your throat. Can you get a flashlight and hold your camera on your phone
in your mouth?
I bull crap you not. Yes. So I do that. She goes, okay, it doesn't look red and inflamed, but I really can't tell. Can you feel your glands and see if they're swollen? I'm like, well, how do I know if they're swollen?
Right. You're not a doctor.
Yeah. So, I mean, I go through like five things and she goes, okay, well, it doesn't seem like you have COVID. And I'm like, hello, I just have a headache. And then she was like, let me ask you. She goes, does this happen on the days you wear a mask? And I was like, let me think about that. Sure enough, every single day that I had to wear it in the beginning for over a half an hour, I would get a migraine from it. And she was like, oh, okay, that's it. Just take some Tylenol, you know, and try not to wear it that often. I was like, I just spent $70 on this. Okay, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. So I believe you when you say there, you know, with the urgent care, there's no one in here. I mean, there was no one in there, but she acted like I had the plague when I walked in. I mean, I didn't even get two steps in the door before she was like, what's your problem? I was like, I have a migraine. Oh, you can't come in here. That's a sign. That's one of the symptoms of COVID. You have to go back. And then a friend of mine, she went to urgent care, and they said that she had to take a COVID, like, home test before she could come in.
Uh-huh.
She was like, are you kidding me? So she went to CVS, got one, it came up negative. So she comes back with the test, and they go, okay, sit here. We got to give you another COVID test. She's like, what? I just spent $30 on a COVID test.
Right.
It was
You're
insane.
Like, wow, I could have just got it for free.
I know. So, yeah.
You want to hear another funny one?
Mm-hmm.
So my healthcare provider, they have like something called a nurse's line. So you call up before you go to urgent care if you aren't sure whether you should go to urgent care or not. So I called them up. I told them I had COVID. I said, but I'm having like a really weird like tingling sensation in my leg. Like it basically feels like it's asleep all the time. And I'm concerned about it. You know, it possibly could be a blood clot. I don't know. Right. You know, if you get COVID, you start reading all these things and then you like freak yourself out. And next thing you know, something that's minor becomes major in your head. So the nurse said, oh, yeah, that does sound a little strange. You know, so I said, well, when should I come in? So the nurse told me, you know, I'm thinking, oh, these people are going to be ready for me to come in and, you know, have something for me to wear or have some kind of designated COVID spot. Oh, no. So, of course, before I enter the building, you know, I'm standing as far as I can, and I yell to the security guards at the front door, I have COVID. I'm you know, so-and-so. And they're like, oh, we'll send a nurse out. Stay away from the entrance. I'm like, I will, and I am.
Oh, my God.
You know, so a nurse who had just gotten over COVID came out, talked to me. And of course, we're all wearing masks, and I was being polite. I've never worn a mask outside up until that point. But when you actually have COVID, you know, you do obviously do as much as you can to prevent other people from getting sick.
Exactly.
Because you really don't want to spread that around. First of all, I think that's assault, you know, in my opinion, you know, to knowingly spread a potentially deadly virus. But also, it's an ethics and morals thing.
Right.
But anyway, so the nurse came out, you know, and I was telling her what I was taking for, like, supplements, because at that point, and even up till this day before the, what's it called, Paxlovid from Pfizer came out, that pill?
Uh-huh, yep.
So before the Big Pharma early treatment pills came out, this was November 2020, December 2020, somewhere around there, there was supposedly no early treatments for COVID. And I wasn't going to get into an argument with the nurse and say, yes, there is, you know, and, you know,
right,
list off all the ones that I was aware of at that point. I actually hadn't even heard about ivermectin at, you know, by the time I had COVID. I knew about hydroxychloroquine.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so anyway, the nurse said, yeah, that sounds good. I was taking echinacea, vitamin C, vitamin D, what's the other one? Elderberry. And I think that's it. And I had very minor symptoms, so like I wasn't that worried. My worry was, I was told, or what I read was, your COVID symptoms could be mild for like the first 7 days, And then all of a sudden, everything gets worse.
Right.
So I wasn't really relieved of my COVID until like day 10, day 11. Once I was over that hump, I was good. But after all that, I was like, wow, the worst thing I had was a tingly leg. I mean, I was still walking a mile a day, like I normally, like for exercise, I walk around the neighborhood. And, you know, obviously this is something that's supposed to affect your lungs. So as soon as I was having trouble breathing, if that happened, I was going to stop doing that. I never had to stop walking, with the exception of my leg felt like it was like, you know, I told you that like 1 or 2 days, it was like a tingly sensation.
Right.
So I stopped walking for that reason, but
you were scared of what was going to happen. My when I had my second son, I had to have a C-section, and I went into what's called congestive heart failure.
Ooh.
What happened was the fluid had built up around my heart. The pregnancy fluid had built up around my heart. So literally, I mean, all I remember was going, I feel like I have a brick on my chest, and they're like, oh, you're anxious. And I'm like, I can't breathe. You know, they had just cut him out and they're holding him up. Oh, it's a boy. You know, my husband's like, oh my God. And they're like, and all I can hear was, we're losing her. We're losing her.
Oh no.
And I can hear my husband going, what the hell are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. So they did this thing with the adrenaline shot and everything. And that's basically what it was. It was because of that. So just, you're going to be on medication for the rest of your life. Da, 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 da. 2 months later, I was off medication. My heart, they said, you know, as good as a 20-year-old. But just to be on the safe side, every year I have a stress test at a cardiologist. I've been doing that for 18 years now. And like I said, it's just something that I do, you know, just like people get an annual checkup. I just go get it done.
Right.
So I saw him in November of 2020. And, you know, we were talking about the COVID and everything like that. And he says that he had seen an uptick of probably maybe 70% of new patients that were having basically anxiety attacks, because they would wake up with a cold and they would literally work themselves up thinking they had COVID.
Wow.
You know, this was before you could go get a home COVID test. So,
right.
You know, trying to make an appointment to go see if you had COVID. And they said, you know, people would come in and, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. I can't breathe, you know, da, da, da. And they would be fine. And what it was is the fear of COVID was causing all these other health concerns.
Right. And you know that lowers your immune system.
It does. People don't understand that. Fear, anxiety, all of that lowers your immune system. And it was funny hearing that from 3 doctors. That, you know, he was like, if you wake up and you're sick or you have a cough or something like that, don't panic, because that makes it worse. You put more stress on your body, which lowers your immune system. And it's just funny that, you know, and then you would tell people the story and they'd be like, that doctor's lying. There's no such thing as lowering your immune system. And da, da, da. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to listen to my doctor, not what you guys are saying.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard about this, but okay, so the debate over the early treatments is still raging. Like, I can't believe mm-hmm. that, but yeah, May 2022, people are still arguing about whether these early treatments work or not.
Even though you've got thousands of doctors who said they have done it, used it, and their patients have lived. So it's ridiculous.
This is an interesting thing. So somebody said, even if you took, and I believe this, so there's actually scientific research about the placebo effect. If you gave somebody, and you don't call it a Tic Tac, but let's just say a sugar pill. So if you gave somebody mm-hmm. something and you said, hey, this will help you fight COVID. And if they believe you, they actually have a higher chance of surviving COVID than if they don't take anything, because mm-hmm. they believe that by taking that pill, they're going to survive. And there, it's like mind over body. And I kid you not, look it up. It's called the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
And they use this when they do tests on medicine as well. That's why they call it the placebo group.
Mm-hmm.
But the placebo effect is real.
My chronic pain doctor told me about that. He says, your mind is the most amazing thing ever. You know, have you ever been sick to your stomach and you sit there and you're saying, please stop, please stop, and you close your eyes and, you know, you're praying to the flowers outside, please make this go away, and you make yourself calm down and calm down, and then like 10 minutes later it's gone?
No, I haven't. Actually, the worst I've ever been sick, I was probably 23 years old. I had some kind of stomach virus. I won't go into the details on that one, but I literally, my entire forehead was, you could see blood vessels. That's how bad I got. And I actually was hoping I was going to die. That's how bad it got.
The stomach virus, there is nothing you can do, because when I was younger, I used to get like nauseous because I would go all day without eating. And then by the time I got home, I didn't want to eat. But we got the stomach virus once in our house, and it literally went through. My father-in-law picked the kids up from school, and he got it. Within like 20 minutes, my oldest son got it. He was 5.
Wow.
My youngest one got it. He was 2. My husband got it. Then I got it. And this is all within like 45 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Of course, you know, I got to take care of the baby. So, you know, it's coming from everywhere, from everybody. And thank God it only lasted for like, I don't know, 3-4 hours. But I would never wish the stomach virus on anyone, because there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can't even take a nausea pill to get rid of like the nauseousness.
Yeah.
It's just, it has to be done. And so, yeah, that, I feel for you. I feel that is the worst.
Mine lasted 2 days.
Oh my God.
I don't even know how I fell asleep. I do know that I had, you know, a trash can at, or a bucket, or I know I had something by my bedside. I felt so awful, and I found out later. So this was actually, I'll never forget it, because it was Christmas Eve. I couldn't go to Christmas Eve. I didn't go to Christmas Day because I didn't want to get my family sick, and I was in no condition anyway. To go, you know, I was better on Christmas Day, but
you were exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. I was exhausted. Plus I didn't want to potentially spread this to somebody else. Even though you can't avoid it, because everybody uses the bathroom, right? So.
Exactly. Well, have you heard the new thing that's going around now with the doctors are just finding? I think I posted this, but doctors and scientists right now are running into people. Microplastics in the lungs for the first time.
Yeah, and it's being picked up from the blue mask, I call them.
That, yes, because I looked up the ingredients into what they're saying the microplastics are, and the same ingredients, which is the polypropylene, I'm sorry, I'm going to say that long, and the polyethylene, they're in the blue mask. And they're like, we don't know where it's coming from. It's like, seriously? I mean, it's never happened before. What's happened in the past 2 years that would make this happen, where the same ingredients of the mask are what you're finding in people's lungs?
Yeah, they don't.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
They do not want to admit the source, just like they, and then I'm going to segue right into that, the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first I want to say something. Let's just say the severe side effects are rare, and it's 1 in 50,000 people. But if you do the math on that, that's a lot of people who would otherwise have healthy bodies, who would still be alive, had they not got a needle injection. So no matter what someone tells me, and what they'll say is, oh, well, that person may have died from COVID. And I'm going to say to them, people under the age of 40 were not dying from COVID in large numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can make that argument for an elderly person, but don't try to make that argument for someone who especially is college aged or younger. That, to me, is the biggest, I don't even know if I'm angry. I'm sad. Yeah, I am angry. I'm sad for the person. I mean, actually, no. I don't want to call them a patient. I'm sad for the victim.
Right.
The victim of lies and the victim of ignorant mandates. And it's all it would take. And I was saying, I was talking to somebody earlier about the people who are in office right now, who are they're Maryland legislators. And I said, all it would have taken is for a, even if it was 10, maybe 20 lawmakers in Maryland to have set, to have held a press conference back in 2020 when all this began and said to, you know, said to the media, because the media will, when you're an elected official, the media will come out and they'll usually cover your press conference.
Mm-hmm.
All they would have had to do was come out and say, excuse me, Governor Hogan is actually, he does not have the authority to do what he's doing under the Maryland Constitution, despite an emergency, despite a war, despite any plea of necessity, by Article 44 of the Declaration of Rights, Governor Hogan cannot do what he is doing. Period. And we could have been over all this craziness quickly.
Did you, have you ever seen the original state of emergency paper he signed March 16th? At the very end of it, it says that the executive emergency will end 8/21.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So he knew on the 16th that this wasn't going to stop.
You're right.
In 2 weeks.
I have that up on my website, freedomformaryland.com, which is, I don't know if you've ever been to it?
Mm-hmm, I have, yes.
Okay, so for those who haven't, I basically dump every non-narrative COVID article that comes out, and even ones that are on mainstream media. Actually, more recently, there's a lot more of that being posted because they're finally reporting on the facts. When, you know, it doesn't matter anymore, right?
Well, do you, have you also seen where the NIH put on their website that a 5-day...
Thank you for reminding me about that document, because I forgot about it. And you're right, it was August, I forget what day, but well, let's just say August 25th, 2021.
Yep.
And Governor Hogan's signature's on that. He never disputed that that was not a made-up document. So, I'm sorry, what were you saying about NIH?
Oh, no, and I was going to say, have you, the NIH also, I think it was 2 months ago, they had on their website that it was proven that a 5-day treatment of ivermectin can help slow and lessen the COVID symptoms.
Really?
And I sent that to all my friends, and they're like, are you kidding me? And I know a lot of people think, you know, I know a lot of people think, a lot of the Congress people, you know, they think less of them, especially if they're Republican. But I broke down and I got the book, you know, the Real Anthony Fauci. And I did the audiobook and I was listening to it going to, you know, a convention. And when they said, I had to actually look it up to make sure it was true, but they said that the reason why the ivermectin and the hydrochloroquine was not allowed, because, you know, as soon as Fauci said, no, you can't use it, France, which you could buy it, like, you go to 7-Eleven and get Motrin, you could buy it in their local shop.
Like Tylenol.
Exactly. My doctor's tech, he's from Nigeria, and he says that the hydrochloroquine, he goes, we all have it in our cabinet, and if we don't have it, we walk down to the local, like, bodega, he goes, and we just grab it, you know, for malaria. He goes, because, you know, we catch malaria, like, 2-3 times a year. And, you know, he even brought up the fact, he was like, why are they all of a sudden pulling it off of shelves in, you know, they're banning it in the United States, but they're pulling it off of shelves in other countries. But in that book, it says there was a scientist from Denmark who said that the reason why they pulled it was because if there is any type of early treatment, they could not get an emergency authorization for the vaccine.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, people can call us conspiracy theorists every day, but it's just, I'm finding it funny that 2 years out.
There's no conspiracy. It's facts. On the it's weird to say this. The Department of Homeland Security is actually the one who authorized the nationwide emergency. And I don't know if it's still up there, but when it was, it's actually a law. It's in U.S. federal law. It's probably in other countries as well. You cannot get an emergency use authorization for a medication if there's a treatment for whatever the emergency is. That makes sense logically, right?
Right, exactly, because I don't care what anybody says, and again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I speak with a lot of doctors. I have friends and family in the healthcare field, and it's just you went to the hospital with COVID symptoms, and they gave you nothing until they literally told you, come back when you can't breathe.
Right.
And they were throwing people on ventilators.
My mother, who was the first one to test positive, and she's okay that I'm saying this, by the way. So she was the first one in our family to test positive. That's where I got COVID from, is her, because it happened right around Thanksgiving. So she tested positive. I never got a test, but I ended up losing my sense of smell and taste. So I definitely had COVID, or whatever they're calling COVID.
Right.
My father got it. Now, ironically, my sister and brother-in-law and their family didn't get it, even though they were over the house during Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But they told my mom the same thing that who was it that they sent home?
Oh,
your mother-in-law.
My doctor was telling. No.
Okay.
None of us have had COVID. None of us have had it. I mean, we've been everywhere. No, they were nurses in my family, friends and family circle. They were telling me. They were telling people. You know, they work at all the local hospitals, Northern Virginia, D.C., and Maryland, and they were saying that we had to turn patients away. They would come in with COVID, and as long as their oxygen levels were up, they would send them home with no antibiotics or anything like that, and would tell them, come back when your oxygen is like below 93 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't do anything. They didn't give them a bed or anything. And that's where every time I talk to them, their first thing out of their mouth is, please don't say my name. Please, please. I'm going to lose my job.
No, they're right.
And it's like, yeah, and she told me, she says, look, she goes, that's why the counts are so high. She goes, because people come in, they have COVID, they have they lose their taste and smell. And then in the beginning, they're petrified. They're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. They come to the hospital and they're like, no, you have to go home. And then say they come back and they're like, they get anxious, so they're having a hard time breathing. They come back. Well, that's two COVID hospitalizations.
That's what?
For the same person. It's two COVID hospitalizations.
Oh, it counts
as two. Because you went in the first time. Yeah,
okay.
They count it. Just like in Virginia, they did it. Like if you took three tests to go back to work and they all came up positive, that wasn't one person who tested three times. That was three positive tests.
Well.
Oh, I'm telling you, the stuff you find out and you research and you hear, it just every day I'm just surprised at more and more stuff, and how people cannot be so furious right now.
No, you're right. The amount of just our lives were turned upside down. Like I think for the history books, people need to understand that we literally went from, I personally went to a St. Patrick's Day event on Saturday, I believe it was March 15th, I want to say, maybe 14th, having a good time. Now, at that point, there was talks of COVID, and there was, I believe the big news around that time was somebody who attended the CPAC convention. I forget what CPAC stands for, but it's the Republican convention in I think it was not DC, near DC. They had tested positive because at that point, there was very few people who had COVID, or at least had tested positive for COVID at that point in the USA.
Right.
So every new case was a big story.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was three people by the time Governor Hogan started shutting down. The very first thing was bars and restaurants. And I don't remember when schools were closed, probably that same week, the week after the St. Patrick's Day weekend.
It was between the 20th and the 24th was when they had the kids like get everything out of their lockers and bring it home. Because my son was a sophomore at the time.
Okay. So people need to...
My life, I'm telling you, my kids are older now. I had everything planned out. I mean, my first 2020 was like my year to go to concert events. I'll never forget. I had packed up. It was a Thursday. I'm sorry. It was a Wednesday. And I had packed my suitcase in the Jeep, took the dog out for a walk. Everything was ready. I was going to New Jersey for Monster Mania Con, and I was so excited. And walking the dog back, I got a text saying that Monster Mania had been canceled.
Oh, man.
I'm like, son of a booger. And so then there was another one in June of 2020. And they were like, oh, you know, 2 weeks to fly in the curve. I'm like, all right, well, at least we can go to June. And then, like, I think it was April. They were like, well, because of COVID, you know, the rest of the season. And I'm like, oh, man, are you kidding me? Mama wants to go out. Mama wants to have some fun. But everything had got, you know, shut down. And I felt bad for the vendors, like the wedding. You know, my cousin, she was supposed to get married in April of 2020. And they, you know, of course, they had to cancel it. But these people who were professional photographers, wedding venues.
You're talking to one.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 2021 before you guys could do anything.
Yes. That's why I know when I said earlier, officially things reopened, but realistically.
Yeah, but it's not like you guys could do anything.
Yeah, because everything has to be booked ahead of time. So, you know, if you're an event hall or venue, you know, it takes months ahead of schedule for those different things to be booked, whether that's, you know, a graduation party or a wedding or a concert. You know, those things don't just happen overnight. There's a lot of planning
that
goes into it.
And then you didn't know if they were going to shut it down again.
Right. And,
you know.
And that's why, let me tell you. So there's a convention that if I could, I would have gone to it every year. Every year it was in New York City. In 2021, they moved it to Las Vegas because Las Vegas was keeping everything open. It wasn't, mm-hmm. They weren't playing games. New York was so questionable. And it just made sense for them to switch it. And in fact, I hope, out of spite, they keep taking it to Las Vegas.
Yep, you're like me, yep.
Before I forget, let's talk about the aspect of people not being allowed to visit their elderly relatives at nursing homes, not even outside. You know, this, I was thinking about this earlier. You know, a lot of older people, they have cognitive issues, dementia, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's. They don't know anything about, you know, COVID shutdowns and lockdowns. All they know is all of a sudden they're alone. Their family members have abandoned them. And then these people eventually died. Not all of them, obviously, but many of them. How awful.
Well, that was the next, that was actually on the list I wanted to talk to you about. I'm glad you brought it up. You know, Maryland, we didn't reopen our nursing homes until, what was it, like November 2021?
It was very late.
I want everyone who's listening to this, I want everyone to do their research. Medical malpractice in nursing homes. What the percentage was before COVID and during COVID. How many of these, and it's not a knock on nursing homes. It's not a knock on nurses. But how many of these elderly patients were neglected? Medical malpractice. You know, my grandmother, 15 years ago, she had a knee replacement. She was coming home the next morning. We got a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. One of the nurses had given her insulin that was supposed to be her neighbor's insulin.
Oh, no.
And she died. So how many died and they said it was COVID? I mean, we'll never know. Nobody will never know.
Right. It's an easy way to cover up malpractice. Thank you for bringing that up. That's something I never thought about.
I would love to see, because I work in the insurance, and I would love to see what the percentage is before, like 3 years before, just three years before COVID, and what it was in 2020, 2021, before they reopened it. Because the videos I saw of elderly people, like you said, you know, with dementia. They don't know what's going on. And you're going to tell me that every day that the nurses have time to let them Zoom their families?
Right.
And why, if they're dying, why couldn't the family members put in on, you know, the full medical gear and the mask and the shield and the overcoats and everything and come in and say goodbye to their families?
Well, I think if this is the weird thing. So if the person actually was, I don't know what the term is, but when death is imminent, they were finally allowing people to go in to say their final goodbyes against the rules, you know, just because they, and I'm not saying this happened with everybody, but with some families, I guess if they pushed hard enough, they would finally let them in. But I guarantee you most families just were like, okay, we can't go visit them. And you know,
right.
I mean, they're, and here's the thing. That is going to be on people's minds for many years to come. Because I can tell you, I lost a close relative last year. And I was so happy that I was there to be able to say my final goodbyes to them.
Mm-hmm.
It meant a lot.
My uncle passed away in February 2020. You know, he was older, but he passed away. And thank goodness when they, or actually was it, the beginning of March, it was, because what happened was when we went to his funeral,
mm-hmm.
they had a lot of people there and they were only allowing like 5 people in at a time. So yes, it was the beginning of COVID. But yeah, I know people who I took my dog last year, what was it, June, to the vet. Was it June of 2021 for his yearly shot checkups and everything like that. And I will this will always stay on my mind. There was a lady with a Siberian Husky. Her and her husband were there, and he was dying. They were putting him down. And I was standing outside with my dog, you know, walking him, and I could hear everything that was going on. And the lady was crying. She was like, can I please come in? They're like, nope, mm-mm. And she's like, but I want to be there with him. When you guys put him to sleep, they're like, no. And they were like, give me the dog. We'll call you and let you know when it's done. And the lady is crying. She's like, please, you know, husband's like, can she at least go in? You know, she's got protective gear. And they're like, no. And if you continue this, we'll just give her back to you and you can take her somewhere else. And
wow.
I'm like, you piece of crap. Oh my God. I mean, it's not even like it was 2020. It was July 2021. And I was just June 2021.
I thought you were talking about 2020. Wow.
No, it was June 2021. I'll never forget, because like I said, it was my dog's yearly shots before we went on vacation. And I was like, I mean, the tears were running down my eyes. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Right.
And it's a vet. I mean, I'm pretty sure she would have been the only one in there because, you know, they would come out to the parking lot, pick up your dog, take them in, do whatever, and then bring them out to you. And I'm like, this is crazy.
I'm glad you brought that up because think about it. They call people, I'm assuming you didn't like the face mask, right?
No, I didn't, because I researched a lot of it. He worked at a hospital, and he does a lot of research on this, and he was like, it's theater. And I'm like, but he goes, Holly, if you can smell through a mask, it isn't doing nothing. So I did. I actually tried to smoke through it. I tried to, you know, smell and everything I could smell. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I will protect people. Don't get me wrong. If someone says, look, can you put a mask on? Because I'll do it because I'm not going to start arguments or whatever.
Right, right.
But if I'm walking my dog and you're coming running out of your house and you don't have a mask on, that's ridiculous.
Luckily, I didn't have any of that kind of confrontation.
My kids did at the high school. They would go during their lunch break because their PE class was basically jumping jacks in the bedroom. And I told this PE teacher, I'm like, look, no offense. I know you're doing the best that you can. However, I'm going to take the hour for his PE and I'm going to have him go across the street and run track. She's like, that's fine. Go ahead.
There you go.
And he called me from there and he says, Mom, this lady came out. She's yelling at us. We don't have a mask on. I didn't bring one. Can you bring me one? I said, I'm not bringing you a mask, but I'm coming up there. And yeah, it kind of got out of hand, and I told him, I said, no. And the sad part was I caught him twice wearing it while he was running, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, Mom, I just don't want drama. He doesn't like drama.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing to our kids?
I mean, they're kids, you know, and they don't know any better. They
don't
know.
It's 100 degrees outside. They're by themselves. She was in her house literally, you know, half the track away. And
right.
She must have been, like I said, looking, and she come running out screaming at the six kids. And I'm like, I'm not bringing you a mask, but Mama's coming up there. And I did. And I told her, I said, you know what? You're in your house. These kids are by themselves. It's not going to stay here for 10 days or even 10 minutes. So go back in your house and mind your business.
The hysteria needs to be known in the history books. And even to this day, there's people who wear masks outside. They wear masks in their cars by themselves. And look, I'm not going to make fun of them. I'm not going to say that what they're doing is wrong, even, you know. But I just think that they should, like you said, do some research. And if you're serious about the mask, I highly recommend a P99 or P100 respirator. That actually does work to prevent viruses from getting into your nose and mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The cloth mask is doing nothing. I'm sorry to say.
Well, they've already said that. CDC came out and said after 2 years now that the cloth mask does nothing. The surgical... Well, did you hear the guy from, and I hate to jump around, but I keep thinking of these things. I think I posted this, but the guy from the World Health Organization, the Greek guy, I can't think of his name, but he actually did an interview about, you know, one about the mask, saying, hey, you know, a cloth mask does absolutely nothing. I mean, you can pick them up in a store. They're wide on the ends. Everything can come out. The surgical mask, they don't, you know, once they get wet, that's it. They're done. And he says, if you really want one that's going to protect you, like you said, with those masks, but they have to be fitted. You can't
right.
have them open on the sides.
Right. That's the key.
And he actually, back with the vaccine, he came out 2 months ago. And was it April? No, I'm sorry. February or March. He came out January, February. He came out and said that the vaccine one doesn't protect you from like any of the variants. The original vaccine that they're giving is for the first one, the COVID-19 that was eradicated when Delta came out in 2021. And he says the third shot basically offers little protection, but not enough to stop you from having it. However, we can come up with a vaccine for the variants within 100 days of them being out, knowing that we, you know, just like the Omicron. And I'm sitting here thinking, this is the World Health Organization, the one who like tells the last word, telling us that it's from the original COVID and not for the variant.
It's true.
So I watch a lot of him too, and I'm thinking, but yeah, Montgomery County, I mean, every post, they do like 10 posts a day. Get your booster, get your vaccine, get your booster, and it's like, but it's not for these variants. I mean, we're basically boosting for nothing.
It's the equivalent of downgrading your smartphone from the newest operating system to something that was like three versions back.
Yes.
It makes...
But we're the ones who don't make sense. You don't know what you're talking about. It's like, he just said it. I mean, you guys want to talk about science. You want to say, follow what the CDC says. The CDC is right. Follow them. But as soon as they say something that doesn't agree with what their agenda is, oh, wow, the CDC, they must be bought off. They don't know what they're talking
about.
Now they're
the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, my. And the same with the World Health Organization. You know, they're like, when he said that and everybody was posting it, they were like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm like, but he was God for like a year, and make sure you listen to them, listen to what they say. And now all of a sudden, because it doesn't meet their agenda, they're like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about.
What happened these past 2 years, it really got back to our primal instincts. And some people don't want to let the hysteria go for whatever reason that may be. It's similar to a child. Again, I'm not trying to make fun of people when I say this. I'm just saying this from a scientific standpoint. A security blanket or a security stuffed animal. They don't want to let that thing go.
They're in their comfort zone right now, and they don't want to step out of it.
They don't want to take the training wheels off.
Exactly.
Even though they have great balance.
My friend, her grandmother was one of the Holocaust victims. And when we were younger, like 14, 15, you know, we used to always ask her, how did so many people just succumb? You know, how did they not fight back? How did they all just get on those trains? And she said, you would be surprised how many people are so beaten down that they get brainwashed. You know, she goes, a lot of those people thought they were going for a shower and they were excited. And now I realize what she was trying to say. I asked, you know, my friends and family that are in the healthcare, I'm like, why are so many people still worried about cases? They've already come out and said, you know, you can test positive for up to 12 weeks after you're no longer infected, or it's ramped up to, you know, pick anything. I've had people tell me, and I actually saw this on the online, where a guy had tested positive for COVID, and when he got his paperwork back, it actually showed he tested positive for coronavirus 229E, which is the common cold. So, and my friend in healthcare, she's a nurse, and she says, because people believe what other people say, they don't know how to think for themselves. And I've realized that during COVID, it's true.
It's very dangerous what happened. I'm going to be honest with you. Like I said earlier, so far, the media has not mentioned my name. There was one media outlet that did. I'll just name names. The Baltimore Sun did send me a survey. The Duckpin sent me a survey. I need to fill it out. I sent the Baltimore Sun one out. I have a few surveys. The point I'm getting at is I'm concerned how powerful the media are and how powerful the government are to smear somebody's name. Mm-hmm. Because if they can lie about this, as long as everyone's in on it, And that's the key. And I believe the media are in on it because they received millions of dollars to advertise the GoVax Maryland campaign. Mm-hmm. And so they stayed quiet on a lot of things that they otherwise shouldn't have.
Well, look at the Oscar, the Emmy, the Met Gala. Who's the sponsor for them? If you ever watch, I can't watch the news anymore because it's just totally biased, but if you ever look, there's so many videos out there, and you know, people are like, oh well, you can't look at a video, that's fake. They're videos. I mean, they're TV screens playing a TV, what's on TV, and then they all say sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by Moderna.
Yeah.
And my college professor told me that the media is the most they can change your mind no matter what you think. He says a perfect example is back when newspapers, and I'm telling my age, but back when newspapers were out, if you walked past a newspaper stand and you saw one newspaper showing headline of a rainbow and a sunny day, or you saw a newspaper of a plane crashing into a building, which one are you going to buy? And everybody said the one with the plane crashing into the building, because people like to hear, they like the doom and gloom. They don't like the, you know, it's a great day out. And if you notice during COVID, I have a Halloween display that I put out every year. And in 2020, Montgomery County tried to say, you can't do any Halloween decorations. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I did it. And I had hundreds of kids come, and you know, they were, parents were like, thank you, they needed something, there's nothing for them to do. I had the news come out, and they were like, why did you decide to do it this year? And I said, because you guys put so much doom and gloom out there that these kids and some of these parents needed a normal day. You know, they just needed something normal. And So they went around and interviewed parents. And I had NBC, Fox 5, and I forgot what the other one was. And they asked the parents, well, what made you decide to bring your kids out during a COVID outbreak? And they're like, the kids are safe out here. They need something normal. You're trying to take away Halloween. You know, are you kidding me? It's enough's enough. Give them some, you know, give them one day. And I was surprised that every single parent had said that. But the news wanted to get that one person to say, I don't believe in this. I can't believe she's doing this. But they didn't get it.
So did they not air the story?
They did, but the 25 minutes they were out here turned into 3 seconds.
Wow.
And then last year, I had the news come out again, and the lady was like, oh, you know, here we are at the Halloween haunted yard with our COVID precautions. And I looked at her. I was like, what? Don't say that. There's no precautions here. This yard is normal. Okay, we don't speak COVID here in this yard. And she was like, well, but, you know, I just want people to know they can stop by, that it's safe. I'm like, safe from what? It's 2021. We know what we're doing now.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, they still have this attitude like it's April 2020 or now May 2020. Mm-hmm. And they've forgotten that, you know, we now have, let's just say, I don't want to call them legitimate, but we have official early treatment pills.
Right.
We have the quote unquote vaccines, and I'll get to why I always put quotes in that in a minute. We have the fact that the variants are weaker. I don't even think they take away your smell and taste anymore.
No, I haven't heard anything about that. They say they attack faster, but they don't cause as much chaos as the other variants did. So, and then they even tried to say that, you know, we hope everyone, the CDC said, what's her name, Rachel Walensky, she says, well, we're hoping that everyone catches Omicron because it'll give such a robust immunity. And I was like, well, hold on for a second. I thought only the vaccine gave immunity to COVID. Wasn't that like the big thing that you couldn't acquire natural immunity with COVID? Wasn't that what Fauci was saying? But now you're saying, oh, I hope everyone catches it because it'll boost their immune system. You'll have like double immunity.
yeah, that's a whole other thing. And I remember it was one of the big things in my speech that I gave in Towson. My solo speech with no audience. And people make fun of me. And I said, look, this is an analogy to what's been going on for the past 2 years, where I'll go to the government, send them an email. At best, they send me a form letter back. One time, I did go through my voicemails today, my old voicemails. And I'm not sure which message I left for them, but somebody got back to me and said, you should contact the state's attorney's office, the attorney general's office, regarding this issue. And it was probably me complaining that Governor Hogan's violating the Constitution. Because I made a few of those type of phone calls over the past 2 years.
But to me, I'm sorry. I know people like are applauding Hogan and, you know, he's got all these articles of the best governor who did. I don't think he did a great job. I think he pushed it on to everybody. I mean, he to me, it seems like he said, okay, this is what we're going to do, but go ahead and let the county executives decide. And, you know, the whole thing about his secret, overnight secret, mission of getting those tests over here for $13 million was kind of like, you know, he also gave us pat himself on the back. I, as a resident of Maryland, have no respect for anything he did.
Well, he did a few good things. I actually think curbside delivery was a smart thing to encourage because that actually does, it keeps the economy going. It keeps people safer.
Well, that, yes.
Deliveries. But, you know.
But I'm talking about his. You know, like the major, you know, the schools.
Overall, yeah.
Exactly.
Now, had I been in his shoes, and again, I'll say I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking. Throughout the course of 2020, I posted videos to YouTube And, you know, you can go watch some of them. Some of them I made private, but I'm going to re-release them in the future. But this is what I would have done differently. First of all, the 14th Amendment exists. You have to equally, you have to apply the law equally across the board. Now, people can say, well, not every business is the same. Not every business has the same structure. So they're not equal businesses. I think that argument's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You do an all or nothing shutdown.
Right.
Knowing what I know now, and now this is the Monday morning quarterbacking, I would not have locked anything down because, as it was shown, it didn't actually make a difference.
It didn't work. Right.
But back then, when we didn't know any better, I actually would have went farther than Hogan did, or I would have done nothing. I think if things would have just been shut down for 14 days, that would have got the message out to people that, hey, we have something that is potentially very deadly for certain people, not everybody. Now, at that time, they didn't know how deadly it was, and it's possible that the original variant was stronger than, obviously, it is stronger, or it was stronger than the variant of 2022, whatever they're calling it,
right,
it these days. But doing the partial shutdowns helped nothing.
Right. And then the countywide, like I said, how are you going to shut down Montgomery County, but then have Howard County, which is 5 minutes away, or Anne Arundel County, fully open? I mean, if it was that bad, you needed to say the state of Maryland has to follow guidelines, phase one, phase two, phase three. You couldn't say, okay, each county, you can set up your own guidelines. Because that just didn't make sense.
If you think, now, I'm assuming you drive a vehicle. You have a driver's license?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and your husband does?
Yes.
Okay, I do. So that, I'm just going to say, it's a position of privilege. Not everybody can afford a vehicle, can afford insurance, can afford, you know, all the costs that are associated with owning an automobile. So
right,
the people who had to use public transportation either couldn't buy certain things that they may have wanted. I mean, I'm sure they could have got a lot of things from Amazon, but...
Oh, they made a killing.
Yeah. But my point is, being able to do certain things like get your hair cut, that was open in Hartford County. Now, if I wanted to, I could have drove to West Virginia and, you know, because West Virginia opened everything up a lot sooner than Maryland did. But that's my, you know, privilege to be able to afford gas and, you know, all the other costs associated with a vehicle. So you really hurt the people who are at the, you know, who are disadvantaged economically a lot. You made them the scourge of society. Whether that was directly or indirectly, and I believe there was a lot of unintended consequences of these actions, but this goes back to why I decided to run for office to begin with, which I look at it like this. If this was mismanaged and it was right out in the public's viewpoint, and we were able to see how these different county executives, how the governor, how the mayors handled this, what else are they doing outside of public purview that they're not managing properly? And I'm not going to say every single person out there is an idiot or whatever, but there was so many missteps from, again, not, and I always say this, like, look, I'm not scared of offending people. I'm not scared of hurting people's feelings if it's beneficial information. So one thing that I really wish they would have pushed more was the fact that COVID was putting people in the hospital who tend to be overweight.
Yes.
Because I believe that by the time the first big wave in the winter of 2020, winter 2021, by the time that first, I'm sorry, the second wave came, a lot of people could have dropped. You know, I dropped, I'm going to say in a 3 month period, I dropped 30 pounds, something like that. Someone who was 300 pounds could have dropped 100 pounds and been outside of that.
But they never made it about health. If you notice that in the beginning, it was never take your vitamins,
eat healthy. Yep.
Because, like I said, with the nurses and the family and everything, they said 99% of the people who were on ventilators were overweight and had a big stomach, and they had problems breathing to begin with.
Right.
So it was never that. And what did they do? They closed the park. They closed anything that the kids could go out and play.
Swimming pools. I had a swimming pool membership in February 2020.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't refund anybody's money either. That was another thing that really ticked a lot of people off. You know, there's a pool across the street from us. It's like $800 for the summer. And I'm not a member because that's ridiculous. But, a lot of people are like, you know, are you going to refund this? Are you going to put it towards next year? And they're like, well, you know, you've already paid it, and, you know, it's putting us out too. And I'm like, oh, I'm, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that one.
Mm-hmm.
They're lucky they didn't get a class action lawsuit. I'll just say that.
And people don't understand, like I said, with the lockdowns, I mean, the mental health, I mean, getting back to the schools, the mental health of these kids, I just, you know, we have a lot of kids in our neighborhood, like I said, from elementary school, middle school, they go to public school, private school. So it's just a diverse, you know, bunch of kids.
Right.
And to see them, their faces go from happy-go-lucky to laughing to they look like zombies. They literally look like zombies. And we have some kids in the neighborhood that their parents would not let them go outside and play, even if it was just them and siblings.
It's getting hard. For some reason, I can't hear you.
Okay. You know, they were riding their bikes. They had masks on. And, you know, I'm like, you guys are by yourself. Get some sun. Get some fresh air. And that's another thing I think that the depression in the kids were, you know, the first couple of weeks, we didn't know what was going on. So, of course, you know, we were on that TV. What do we do? What do we do? You know, my son was like I said, he was a sophomore. He was upstairs doing virtual. And I was like, okay, no one can come over. They said this, da, da, da. But after 3 weeks, I was like, I can't do this to him. I could see a big drop in his, you know, he just wasn't his happy-go-lucky self.
Right.
And I was like, look, your friends can come over here. You know, you can go to the park. You can do whatever. I don't care. Because just please be careful. Don't get in people's faces. And once I did that, you know, his friends and the parents would call me that had to work. Because people also didn't understand this. A lot of low-income families, they don't have, like, the high-powered internet. So they couldn't do a lot of their schooling. So what I did was, like I said, I was working home 3 days a week, and I was like, look, have your friends come over here. They can sit downstairs. They can sit in the other room. And, you know, we would bring their families, like, pizza, subs, stuff like that from the restaurant. Because we knew, you know, one of them had to stay home with the kids. They lost their job because they had to sit home while their kids were doing virtual.
Right.
We tried to do as much as we could, but I don't think people realize that, you know, the county executives are, we're doing this for the health of people, and, you know, we're not opening schools. And, you know, they called the parents who wanted to go back to their kids to go back to school. You were murdering your kids. And I don't know if you knew this or if they, huh?
Killing grandma.
Oh my God. So one of my best friends, she's a psychotherapist, a child psychotherapist. And she says after April 2020, her cases jumped 300% between the ages of 5 and 8 year olds. She says, even I talked to her 4 weeks ago. That was the last time I spoke with her. She said she still has patients where their kids, 5 and 6 years old, will not give them a hug or a kiss goodnight because they are still afraid that they will kill grandma or their parent if they hug them. It was on cartoons, TV shows, showing grandma waving out the window. Don't get too close. You might kill grandma. That was the worst thing we could ever do with kids.
Are you serious? They were airing commercials, yes, and PSAs like that?
Oh, my God, yes. If you look, you know what? I'm going to send you some. I'm going to go back to the internet.
I had no idea, you know, because I don't watch, like, Nickelodeon or anything, you know, so I had no idea.
See, I didn't either until she told me. You know, my kids are older, but she was telling me, she said, you know, kids were drawing masks on the faces of people in magazines and books because they felt anxious because that person was not wearing a mask.
Oh, that is so sad.
Yes. The story she told me, I mean, it would make you cry.
Probably putting a mask on Barbie.
Yes. And, I mean, you know, and of course all these companies, you know, they made a killing. They had masks for dogs. They had masks for, you know, you could get an outfit for your baby doll. It was like a dress with a matching mask. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing? And it's just, yeah, she told me the anxiety in kids. But 5 years old, literally 5 years old, can you imagine being afraid at 5 years old hugging your parents because you've been told you could kill them?